Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why, hello there. Tom Allen here, sitting in for Chris Evans on the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up on the show, a man with the finest taste buds in town, Greg Wallace, makes us salivate, sharing all about the 17th series of Celebrity MasterChef. Strictly Superstar AJ Adudu and the hilarious Mo Gilligan spill the tea on the return of The Big Breakfast on Channel 4. And the wonderfully wacky Lou Sanders makes us belly laugh, talking about her show, One Word, Wow, which is on at the Edinburgh Fringe. All of that and so much more to come. So let's hear our very first guest. He's taken us inside the factory, taught us to eat well for less, and donned his MasterChef judge's hat for 17 years. Gosh, 17 years. This Wednesday, Celebrity MasterChef returns with an all-star lineup battling it out for the coveted 2022 title and the butteriest of biscuit bases. Please welcome gastronomy great, it's Greg Wallace!
Hey!
Hiya, Greg. Good morning.
Mate, what an intro. What? That may be the best intro I've ever had.
Well, you're welcome. You're very welcome to it. And it's all true. Greg, are you excited about the new series of Celebrity MasterChef starting?
Yeah, I love MasterChef. And I think of the three, pro, amateur and celeb is the most fun.
Oh.
Without doubt. I think because the contestants, because they're celebs, are the least nervous. They're used to cameras and stuff, their children. And quite frankly, at least a third of them can't cook.
So, I mean, that's the fun of it, isn't it, when they go really wrong? That's what I find, anyway.
I think when we first started, we were slightly worried because we thought it might dilute a serious cookery competition.
Oh,
and then we
yeah.
quickly realised just how funny it really is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Best to lean into your faults, I find. That's always comedically rich. And, well, it's you might say it's something I built a career on myself.
That's deep.
Very deep, Greg. Very great, deep for early on a Monday. Yeah, and you got a great lineup of celebs this year. And, you know, Wednesday we kick off with, we've got Danny Jones, Faye Winter, Kay Curd, Nancy Dell'Olio and Paul Chuckle. Good crowd?
Mate, they are a good crowd. But what I think, well, first of all, I'm really always happy to meet people that I've watched on the telly.
Yeah, that's nice, great. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, to find out what they're really like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, but what really surprises me and John is very quickly and how quickly they go from being celebs to simply being MasterChef contestants. They quickly work out they cannot giggle, dance or sing their way from this competition. They've got to knuckle down and start grafting.
That is the delight, isn't it? Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's
especially
very quickly
because it's timed as well. They haven't got all day to mess around and do a tap dance and a monologue, so they've got to get on with it. Yeah.
You know, when John turns around and says, right, let's cook, you just look at the shock horror on some of those faces.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Oh, it's actually happening.
Are we really going to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Because you and John seem quite strict at times. Are you really like that with them? Especially John. He seems very strict.
John comes across as firmer, doesn't he?
Mm.
Actually, I suppose John, actually, you don't know. He's a good mate of mine, John. And he's actually quite shy. So sometimes shy people can be a little bit quiet.
Where
I'm not shy at all. I mean, I'll tell someone I met on the bus every, like, personal detail of my life.
Greg, as if you're still getting the bus, rabbit. Please. Oh, please. When was the last time you got a bus?
What's the point, actually?
That's a really good...
I get on the tube. I do get on the tube.
Get on the tubes quicker, isn't it? A bus. Yeah. Well, the problem with the bus, it goes traffic light bus stop forever. So in London, it's a nightmare, Greg. It's a nightmare. You're a busy man. You've got to get to the factory to do the other show.
I've just come back from Dublin and I can't tell you. We did two factories back to back.
Really?
And, I'll leave it up to you to work out what iconic brands there may be.
I wonder what it is. I wonder what it is that gets made in Dublin. Is it a food or is it a drink? Don't tell us. Do you love doing that show? That's been a runaway success, hasn't it? You're brilliant at doing that.
I've been doing it for 8 years. Can I just plea, please?
Yes.
Whenever it's on,
yes.
Okay? I'm fully aware that I have no hair, okay? Mm. And I don't choose to wear a hairnet. So can you, every single time that episode is on, I get inundated, why are you wearing a hairnet? Right, so two things. One is
yes.
You have to wear it.
You have to wear it.
You have to wear it when you go in.
Same
rule. Yeah, you have to.
One rule for everybody.
And secondly,
yeah.
Secondly, not just to stop the hair, it's to stop the sweat.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice to know. Yeah. Hang on, does a hairnet stop sweat coming through? Sure, you need a swimming cap. It's a nice image, anyway.
A hairnet suffices.
I bet it does. I bet it does. And you, congratulations, you recently got your MBE, didn't you?
Wow, what an honour, right?
Greg.
What an honour.
We were very excited
about
it. Well, yeah.
Because I live here with my beautiful wife, Anna, and her mum and dad.
Oh.
And little Sid. When it was announced, I downloaded a fanfare of trumpets on the mobile phone, and I played them before I entered any room in the house, and I kept it up all morning.
How endearing. How modern. Have you gone to get it? Have you gone to collect it yet?
No, I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know who it's going to be, and I don't know where it's going to be, but I am super chuffed.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice to have a gong, isn't it? Nice to have a gong. To hang on your lapel. You can wear it in the kitchen with the MasterChef.
Well, I don't know whether MasterChef are going to put the MBE on the credits.
Insist on it, I say. Insist on it.
Record.
Yes.
I changed my Insta account. It now says Greg A. Wallace MBE. I did that.
Oh,
cool.
Well, that, yeah, straight away. Straight on there. That's the main thing. So, mate, if it's
Do you know
on
what
Instagram,
it feels like?
True.
Yeah. You know what it feels like? You know when you're, maybe it's a working class thing, when people say, he's all right, he's all right.
Yeah.
It seems like the highest power in the land has gone, he's all right, he's decent bloke, he's all right.
That's all any of us want, isn't it? Approval. Yeah, we all want to be approved of. Yeah, and you've got it, Greg. You've got it. You've got
it.
Yeah,
that's
now people are really going to... Yeah, go on, what?
So watch yourself, because I'm pretty sure I can have you imprisoned.
Is that right?
Like that.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Oh, what
so,
for?
Yeah.
For being cheeky on the radio?
I don't know.
Crimes against fashion.
I'm sure we could dig up something, my friend.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good... you could do that for your next documentary as well, Inside the Prison. You could see what's going on there. Yeah, I'd watch that, Greg. I'd watch that.
Inside the Prison food.
Yeah. Celebrity MasterChef starts on Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 10th of August, BBC One, 8 p.m. Or you could watch it on the BBC iPlayer, of course. We've been talking about catch-up television options, Greg.
Yeah, I heard this. I'm also a fan of Westworld. You were talking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's on Sky Atlantic. Yeah, you like
it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Greg, you're very on brand. You're very on brand today.
Yeah, I do. Well, I also, like Sinead, I do catch-up in bed.
Catch-up in bed. Oh.
Yeah.
Different to ketchup in bed, because that will go all over the sheets. Just be careful. All right, Greg. Greg, thank you so much for joining us. We've loved chatting to you, and good luck with the new series, and congratulations on the MBE.
Bless you, mate.
See you soon. Have a great day.
Cheers, mate.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
What's in my perfect breakfast? Well, there's crispy bacon, hash browns, baked beans. Oh, and these next two guests. Our Saturday mornings are about to get a whole lot tastier as the Big Breakfast returns to our screens after 20 years, taking the baton and the bacon from some fella called Chris Evans. Is he called? He used to do it? Yeah, I think. I don't know. It is, of course, our wonderful guests, the awesome AJ Adudu and Mo Gilligan.
Yeah!
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We're so excited about the new show.
This team.
Yeah, so are we, man. It's looking good.
Yeah, what can we expect? Look, go on, Mo, tell us. What can we expect?
Oh, what can't you expect? It's just going to be like bringing that like energy back to like Saturday morning TV. There's a lot of cookery shows. So now it's just time for some vibes in the morning for this lovely heat wave that we're getting. You
Absolutely.
Know?
And Tom, we are in a brand new house, which is even bigger than yours.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
Really? Where is the house then? Is it not in that East London place where it always used to be? Is it?
No, we've moved.
Oh,
we've
you've moved. Out. You've moved. Yeah. What a time to move. Is it a nice place?
It's a great place in North London.
Yeah.
You don't know. You
like
don't know.
You.
Surprise.
Surprise. You're here. Oh, okay. Oh, great. You got some great guests coming up in this first weekend.
Oh my gosh. Sensational guest. Oh my gosh. Who do we not have, AJ?
Absolutely. We have got Daniel Kaluuya.
Mo, I know what you just did there. Can I just say, AJ, I know what Mo just did there. He just went, I can't remember who our guests are. And he went... And that's what I love. It's a great team because Mo went, I've temporarily forgotten. AJ, you tell them. AJ's great at listing the guests.
I'm here.
Sorry, who are your guests? Tell us.
So we've got Daniel Kaluuya. We've, of course, got the family of the week. Denise Van Outen's going to be popping in.
That's right. Rita Ora.
Oh, wow.
Got Joel Dommett.
Oh, lovely. That is a nice mix.
Some of the lionesses as well.
Oh, yes. Have you got some of the lionesses coming in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
We've got Alicia and Ella Toon.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Oh, it's such a good mix of people.
It's all going on.
Zoo from Love Island.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Oh, people are very excited about this. How are you both in the mornings? Mo, are you a morning person?
I'm absolutely shattered, innit? Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
What you going to say then?
I'm absolutely shattered. If you look closely under my eyes, you can see a supermarket.
You can't. You think you can, but you can't. I've been covering for Chris Evans here on The Breakfast Show, so I have been doing a little bit of that myself, getting up at sort of 4:30.
Hey, I've seen Chris Evans when I was in LA.
Did you, Mo?
Yeah, I was in LA. Oh. And I was literally at the traffic lights and I see this guy and I was like, Chris. And he's like, Mo. And I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here?
That is a very showbiz reference, Mo. Very showbiz. Yeah. And did he give you any advice about the big breakfast at all?
No, I was literally at the traffic lights, so I had to keep it moving.
Lights changed. That's nice. That's nice. Sometimes that's kind of just like a nice way to see people, isn't it, actually? Parties should be like that, I sometimes think. You know, you just... sorry, the lights have changed. Got to go. And AJ, how do you find the early mornings?
Do you know what? I would say that I'm not naturally a morning person, but I just get up and get on with it. Do you know what I mean?
I find once I'm up, I like it. There's a freshness to the day and energy about it.
Yeah, and I like that no one's around at the moment. Like, I can see the trees and the sun is shining, so it's good vibes.
Oh, yeah, great vibes. And it's going to be a warm weekend, so everyone's going to be... Ooh. Oh, yeah, it's the best part of the day, actually, to be up at that time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be an absolute scorcher this weekend, but luckily we've got a brand new, massive pool.
Have you?
Cold water, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Great work. Great work.
Absolutely everything in this house.
That's great, isn't it?
Apart from air conditioning.
Oh, saving on the fuel. That's right. Saving on the energy. Quite right. Quite right. Saving on the energy bills. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, maybe you'll be outside for a bit of it and cool down there. Are you going to make the guests go in the swimming pool?
Oh, we're not going to make anyone do anything that they don't want to do.
But if people
end up there, you know, that's not the end of the world,
if
is it?
If they end up there for a game show, then they end up there.
That is the fun of it. It must be so exciting because I know, like, the show was rebooted for a 4-episode series following a successful one-off return, wasn't it, in September 2021, which was because it was part of Channel 4's Black to Front Day of black programming. And it went so well that people wanted more of it and they commissioned a whole series. So it must be thrilling to know that it made such an impact.
Oh, yeah. No, I think to be part of like an iconic show like Big Breakfast, which tons of people in TV worked in, a lot of people watched it. I grew up watching it. Yeah. But it's also this new generation that are watching it now as well. You know what I mean? This younger generation who are kind of discovering it. I think that's what's kind of cool about it as well. It's like revamping it, but you're kind of making it a bit different. You've got social media now. You have Twitter, which wasn't around when it first...
No, it wasn't. Yeah, what did people do? What did people do with their days when they didn't have social media? just stared at their hands.
Yeah. We actually spoke to each other. Who knew?
What can you imagine? How ridiculous. Yeah. But it's such a fresh take on it. And it feels really, really lively because it is such a, you know, like you say, iconic show. A lot of us remember it being out in the 90s, wasn't it, when it was on before, I think. I remember being at school when it was on in the mornings. And everybody has that recollection. But despite the pressure of that, you guys have just taken it on and made it your own. I mean, it must have been scary when you first did it.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's always that pressure with anything that we all do to really, you know, pay homage to the show that we all know and love and grew up with. But like Mar said, you know, there's a whole generation of people who are discovering The Big Breakfast for the very first time.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe to them, we're the first presenters that they've ever seen on it.
Yeah.
So it was really amazing that it was so well received that we are back for more, four episodes every Saturday at 10 a.m.
And you're joined by some wonderful people as well. Judy Love is back grilling guests in the on the bed interviews. Melvin Adoom and Harriet Rose will be out and about on the streets of the UK playing hot sausage. And Big Breakfast newsreader Phil Gale is returning to deliver the morning headlines. So it really is a great party way to start your Saturday and indeed your whole weekend. So I'm so happy for you guys that you're back on our screens with this. I love you both and so happy for you. And can't wait to tune in tomorrow from 10. Big Breakfast returns Saturdays at 10 on Channel 4 and all four. Sorry, Mo, what were you going to say?
No, I said yay.
Oh, you said yay. Yeah. We've been saying fry-yay here, but we've been doing it sarcastically. But but we look forward to joining you on Saturday. Saturday. Okay. All right.
See you Saturday.
Enjoy your rehearsal. See you tomorrow, you guys.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye. Lots of love. Bye. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
She wowed us when she won Taskmaster. She wowed us on Live at the Apollo, and now she's wowing again at the Edinburgh Fringe with her brand new show, One Word, Wow. Here to tell us all about it, in hopefully more words than one, it's the ludicrously lovely Lou Sanders.
Oh, hey!
Lou, great to be chatting with you.
Oh, nice to be here. Guess where I'm going after this?
Where are you going after this, Lou?
The beach.
Oh, don't tell Sinead. She hates it.
Sinead, I love the beach.
Most people do love the beach, to be honest. I think, Sinead, you're in a minority there.
Fine. I like being on my own. Fine.
Because, Lou, you're in Edinburgh at the moment at the Fringe.
Yes, it's a true story.
It's a true story.
Do you miss it, Tom?
I used to go. I went for about 11 years. I always found it quite overwhelming, if I'm honest. Yeah. I did enjoy it, but there were times when it would be quite overwhelming. And I remember once doing my show and the fire alarm went off. And so I had to carry on my show in the car park. And I wouldn't mind, but it happened several times, as though someone was trying to sabotage my... I was just always in a car park. I was basically... should have just been checking the tickets as well.
Yeah.
Then
they did gigs in the car park for a short while. I bet you were front of the queue for that as well, weren't you?
Oh, and what, during the lockdown?
Gigs. Yeah.
Oh, I know, I couldn't even do those ones. So there you go.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
You had so much practice.
So I was the best prepared of everybody. Lou, how's it going up there? Are you having a nice time?
I am actually, yeah. I've got two little friends are up from London and we're going roller skating. I found a really good skate park, so that's quite good.
Lou.
And just keeping my beak clean, you know?
That's you, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's you.
Keeping my beak clean.
I mean, Lou, I've known you for a long time and you are an eccentric person, I would say. You are a fabulously eccentric person and I love you for it. For example,
hot
roller skating.
Kettle.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like a kindred spirit with you.
Actually, a lot of middle-aged women have taken up roller skating in the pandemic.
Have they?
A midlife crisis, yeah. Mostly on the pavements, but I mean, I think that's quite boring, so I'd like to do the skate park stuff. But a lot of my friends are, as a result, quite a lot younger than me.
Okay. That's fine.
Our music tastes are different. You know, I'm putting classical music on at the skate park. No one wants to know.
No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. Oh, that's lovely, though, but it's nice they have a role model in you.
Yeah.
Someone to look up to. I mean,
Mummy's back!
Can you do any tricks with your roller skates?
Yeah, but my friends are really good. They can do like flips and aerials and stuff like that. I can't really do that much great stuff, but
it doesn't matter as long as you're having a nice time. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, watch this space. Of course it matters. Of course it matters.
Do you think it does? Do you take it? You take it very seriously?
No, I don't, because I don't go enough to get really good. But yeah.
Well, it's a fun thing to do, Lou. You've got.
Are you going to?
Oh yeah, go
come
on.
Come up and watch any shows at the Frange.
No. I mean, I could lie and go, yes, I can't wait. But actually, no. I find it quite stressful, if I'm honest.
Mm.
It reminds me of the 11 years I did go there and found it just a bit. I just find it really overwhelming. The sense of all the posters. I don't know what to go and see, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. They also, what no one tells you is they all come to London anyway. You don't need to move.
Well, that's good then. That's good. So, I mean, I'm glad we're plugging the show of yours today. Tell us about your show. It's called One Word. Wow.
Oh, well, funny story. So my show was a little bit about my stepdad and a lot about this boy that I fell in love with in the pandemic. Ooh. Met him at the skate park. And then we split up a week before the Fringe.
Oh,
Great timing. Oh. And my something else happened in my family, which I talk about in the show at the end. So the show has changed quite a lot, but people love a bit of misery, don't they? it was too joyful. Before it was too joyful, and now, you know, at least it's got a bit of everything. So yeah,
I think people like honesty though. They like honesty and vulnerability. Yeah. I think that's part of it, right? I think that's there's that thing, isn't there, of comedy being, it can be funny, but it can be also personal and human.
Yeah, and the good news is I've only cried twice on stage. We're really growing up fast. see the show.
But Lou, I know, though, that anybody watching your show will be having a wonderful time. So yeah, and they'll be appreciative of your honesty.
When I cried, I said, if anyone tells anyone I cried, I'm going to cut you all.
Oh, that's some extreme. So, but don't need to worry about now because you've done it yourself. Yeah. You've told everybody.
We had a lovely time. We really bonded.
Oh, that's good. What were we going to say?
I've spent £150 on crystals to put around the stage. So you be the judge.
You are a big fan of that, aren't you? You like a crystal and that sort of carry on. You like it, don't you?
Carry on. How dare you?
Sorry, Lou. It is definitely real. Definitely real. You put crystals. What are your favourite crystals at the moment?
Rose quartz and turquoise. And yes, I've been stuffing them down my top.
Oh.
And then invariably...
That gives you the energy.
Some part of the day they fall out and crack.
Oh.
And then I'm like, oh, another crystal's cracked.
Another crystal's cracked. Well...
I'm not making my show sound very good. I'm sound terrible.
No, I think you're making it sound fun and original and brilliant, which is what you always are. So I think that's... I'm just worried about the crystals, so you have to go and buy a new one. Or do you just hang them on a tree to charge?
You put them out in the moonlight,
obviously. Put them out in the moonlight, of course.
And one woman called Elaine, who kept heckling yesterday, she thought she was adding to the show. I had to really tell her
when you were crying? When you were crying?
No,
she was
I didn't cry yesterday. I was such a brave girl.
Well done.
But she was putting the crystals back if they got knocked over, and I said, Elaine, you cannot touch another lady's crystals. That's
the golden rule. Rule number one at crystal school, a crystal club. You've got don't touch anybody else's crystals. I didn't know that, actually. They're very personal to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the show is quite relatable. It doesn't sound relatable at the moment.
It's got some stuff about
kissing, stuff like this.
Lou, you don't need to tell me about the benefits of being in a niche. Just be in your niche. Get in a niche and everybody will follow. Everybody wants to be in a niche. Everybody wants to belong. Lou, I'm so glad it's going so well for you. And as always, it's lovely to chat to you. And thank you for being so...
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for being you. Have a nice day.
You too. Where are you going to go swimming? Can you tell us?
Portobello.
Oh, nice. Have a nice ice cream down there.
Don't mind
if you do at all. Sinead, you wouldn't like it there.
You've just sent the Paps there.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you might have to change your plans now.
Have a terrible day now.
No.
No, I don't think I'm at that level. No. Hopefully not.
Well, the main thing is you have a good time. Go on.
Yeah. Lovely to talk to you both.
You have
a lovely day on the airwaves. Okay.
You too, Lou. You too. Have a great Fringe, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Bye.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Lou. Lou Sanders, everybody.
Off to the beach.
Oh, lovely ice cream they do at Portobello too. Go and see Lou's show if you get a chance. She really is such a joy.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
We've heard from a bunch of incredible guests already, but there's still more to come. The marvellous Michelle Gale lifts the lid on the Sky-supported national art education project, The World Reimagined. Culinary queen Jane Dunn makes our mouths water with her latest cookbook, Jane's Patisserie, Celebrate. And journalist and Times Radio Mid-Mornings presenter Matt Chorley gives us the lowdown ahead of his interview with Conservative Party leadership contender and former Chancellor Rishi Sunak on Times Radio. So, let's get right back into it. 7 cities, 100 artists, over 350 schools and community organisations, The World Reimagined is a groundbreaking national art education project to transform how we understand the transatlantic slave trade and its impact. Our friends at Sky are the official presenting partner, and here to tell us more is the project's ambassador and co-founder, the marvellous
Michelle Gale.
Good morning.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming in. We're so interested to hear about this project, the World Reimagined, and it's a community art project.
Yes.
And you are the person who's started this whole thing off.
Yes.
Tell us about what it is.
The aim of the World Reimagined is to access a very difficult conversation at all levels of your family, from a young child to your grandparent. You're able to go along to these trails, which are free of charge. You can travel around these trails, and there's a 10-step journey of discovery, starting from Mother Africa right through to reimagine the world, now that you've learned more about the transatlantic trade of enslaved Africans and the repercussions that are still around today of it. And it's a very comprehensive viewing of what's a horrible part of our history. Yeah. And we're very keen to make people understand you don't have to be black. It's not black history. It's British history. It's all of our history. Mm. And it's really important, I think, for us to be able to move forward together in understanding and empathy. And this journey is part of that, part of understanding why Afro-Caribbean and African people are here, why they are British, the contributions their ancestors have made, and why that is very important to achieving racial justice. Because once you realise we all start on an equal footing, we're all equally British, then you move forward to job applications and school applications and being viewed in the street as an equal.
What an amazing way of approaching that history. Mm. And I think it's so important that we obviously acknowledge our past, our shared past, and what an amazing way to do it through, it's largely through art, is that right?
That's correct. We decided, obviously we knew it was a very difficult conversation, and we came across some trails of, I think Manchester did Be in the City, and we felt that this might be a way for the public to engage. And we expect over 2 million visitors across these trails between August and October. Mm. And we really wanted to take the conversation to everyone, not preach to the converted, to someone who may never ever think about racial justice will access this at any level and go, wow, I didn't know that. That's really moved me. And then it allows them to maybe get involved further should they wish to. Yeah. And so we thought art would be the most accessible way. Art builds empathy.
Yes.
It's very subjective, but because there's so many globes, you should find one that appeals to you. And we went to the very renowned artist, Yinka Shonabare, and we said, we've got this idea. We just need your help. Please, we were literally of a begging bowl. And and he's the one who came up with the name The World Reimagined.
Oh, so I was going to ask you about the name.
Yeah, yes, Yinka Shonabare. Yeah, Yinka Shonabare came up with the name, and he's the one who decided that the canvas that we should start from should be a globe. So what happens is the artists were given a blank canvas of a globe, and then through that they interpreted one of the 10 themes onto that globe. And I went to see them at Westminster Abbey on Monday with my son, and it was so moving. And my son's 10, he loved them, but we saw so many people who'd gone to Westminster Abbey and happened upon them, and their reaction to them was really moved me. And like I said, it's because it can touch you at every level. There's QR codes for you to find out what the artist's intent was with the art. Right. There's a QR code for you to know community organizations and some of the activities they're doing around this program. So it means that you can play a part in making a change and moving us all forward.
Right.
And that was really important to us.
Yeah, what a beautiful way of presenting this this piece of history. Mm. Because I think as well, I think a lot of us have become more and more aware, particularly during the pandemic and after the pandemic, when particularly with things like Black Lives Matter, and around that time, there was a real reflection, I think, from so many people, and a real hunger to try and understand and try and move forward, exactly like you say.
That's right.
And what a wonderful way to do it.
And, you know, it's... It's strange because we'd started the project 3 years ago, and we have seen that conversation increase. So, you know, we kept thinking, well, how do we get this conversation sparked off, and how do we make it accessible to more people? And suddenly people have been having this conversation for a year and a half, 2 years now. And this is a point for you to come out, enjoy the trails, learn more, see how you can get involved. And all of us really have the opportunity as Britons to make racial justice a reality.
This is so exciting. People can get involved by... There's basically, if they look at theworldreimagined.org...
That's right.
That's where all the information is, where they can find the exhibit.
Yeah.
Exhibits and where they're going to be and how you can go on the trail and experience it all and let, allow it to lead to further conversation.
That's
which
right.
Is it, really
the, all the information is on the website. And then, you know... Just go out with your families, bring some food with you, go out. And it's a really, all of the trails are really well thought out, really well planned out. And I think they last about an hour, hour and a half for you to just walk amongst the globes, have conversations about them and then go on to the next stage and next stage and next stage.
Amazing.
Yeah. And there are access points, like I said, for you to get involved further should you want to via the community organisation. Organisations that are doing activities around the event.
So it's very, very accessible to all ages and all levels
ages
of understanding.
All ages and all creeds.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's so great to hear. Michelle, how have you got the energy to do this when you are starring as Hermione in the Cursed Child, the Harry Potter play in the West End?
I am very tired. And I'm a mum, and it's summer holidays.
Wow.
I mean, it is... a massive juggle, but it means so much to me, this project.
I bet.
It just means so much. It means so much as a person who wants the best for my children, for your children, for the country.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want it any other way, as tired as I may be. I went to Westminster Abbey to see them on Monday and I was moved to tears, you know. So hopefully everyone who goes out there, it would be great to get your feedback. But I already know, because I've seen it in real time, the effect it will have on those that go out on the trail. So please go and see them.
Please go along and see them. What an incredible, incredible project. It's called The World Reimagined and it's supported by Sky. And you can find out more, as we say, at theworldreimagined.org and theworldreimagined.org. And you can explore the journey of discovery near you via that website. All the information's there. Do go and have a look and experience it. It's brilliant. And it's absolutely brilliant to have you here, Michelle.
Thank you for having
so
me.
So lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's Michelle Gale, everybody.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
This patisserie princess has taken the internet by storm with her beautiful bakes and delectable delights. Her latest book, Jane's Patisserie, Celebrate, is rising to the top of the charts, and that's just the icing on the cake. With 70 new... I don't write this, by the way. They give it to me. But with 70 new recipes to make every day special, please welcome the jubilant Jane Dunn.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So wonderful to have you here. So excited, not least because you've brought us treats.
Of course.
Being aware of your work online and in print form, it's very exciting to see the actual product of it right here in front of me.
I know, it's just amazing, isn't it? And then just everyone, just bring cake. You can't be unhappy.
No one is sad when they get a cake, are
they? Exactly.
Absolutely. Unless they leave them out in the rain. And then, you know, people get very upset about that.
Yeah.
At MacArthur Park. But I am very excited. And not just me, but the rest of the team have been very overexcited because they've started making things from the book.
I'm very impressed.
Are you?
Yeah.
Hold your horses there.
Well, Felix...
The taste is in the pudding, is it?
The proof is in the pudding. Nobody's made a pudding. Felix made an Eton mess cake.
Yep. Tilly's, it looks perfect.
He's really excelled himself, actually,
yeah,
Felix.
Yeah, genuinely, it looks really good.
He's a classic overachiever, is Felix. He works very hard. Tilly made chocolate orange cupcakes, which... are good. Yeah, they're good. And as Sinead made, as we discussed earlier, bacon cheese straws.
Yes.
And Jane made cheesecake stuffed strawberries.
Mm.
I tried one of those strawberries, actually, and they are delicious. What a great idea, having a sort of cheesecake mixture, like piped into one of a strawberry.
Yeah, it's so simple, isn't it? And it's just a fun little treat that you can make really quickly, whether you're doing it by yourself or with your kids or something.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Everybody gets involved.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you, because you've risen to prominence so much online.
Yes.
Why do you think that? Why do you think online baking has become such a big deal?
I just think it's one of those things where people could really resonate with me, where they realised I was just the normal girl in the kitchen. Like, I will share when I have dropped a whole cheesecake on the floor, or when my dog has eaten part of a cake when he definitely shouldn't have done. And it's just me being realistic of, well, that didn't work, but it's fine, it's still edible. And I think people just really got on board with me just being kind of weird, kind of normal girl, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think
vibing with it.
That's what's so exciting, actually, about like online broadcasting is that it's so much more, it's accessible and everybody can relate to the people they watch. I find it very, very exciting. I mean, I've always loved watching cookery programmes. I've always enjoyed watching people make stuff. But I think the way that you can sort of choose on demand what you need and what you want when you want it is great.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, for me, it's easy to respond to then what people who follow me want to see. So if somebody asks for the chocolate orange cupcake recipe, that's then what I will produce because I want to do what people want.
Yeah.
And it's just fun for me to be able to experiment with just ideas all over the place and everything's tasty.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
And you're quite led, aren't you, by like optimize, I mean, it sounds very sort of technical, but like sort of looking at how online trends work.
Yes.
So you can actually work out what people really want and
100%.
Offer that to them.
Yeah, exactly. And like my first book and the second book and even everything on my blog is based off of what people ask for. And like even just walking down like the confectionery aisle in a supermarket, ooh, what have I not baked with recently? What do I like? And even retro ideas, like going back to your old sort of classic chocolates and all of that.
Oh, delicious. I love all of those as well. Yeah, and I love a bit of old-fashioned sort of cookery as well. Like I like that Sarah Lancashire drama. Have you watched that about Julia Childs? Have you seen that? Oh, it's so fun. It's so extraordinary. She was the first TV chef. And you realise that people hadn't been taught how to cook before.
Yeah.
Well, they had, I suppose, a bit. But, like, this is the first time. And I think that's... It's evolved. You're the modern version of her, aren't you?
I'd like to think so. I'm not going to lie. Quite
oh,
a compliment.
You? You're welcome. You're welcome to it. Well, what is the main bit of advice you would give people who are a bit nervous about baking?
I'd say... It sounds really weird, but baking's like chemistry and you just have to follow the recipe.
Oh, right.
So when cooking, you can kind of like throw a spoonful of this in, weigh everything definitely
properly.
Accurately.
Yeah.
And you'll be so much better off. And like even with the oven, like with the cheese straws, if you get an oven thermometer, you can see if your oven's actually at the right temperature.
Oh, that's a good idea. Because Sinead, you were worried about your cheese straws.
Yeah, because they were a little soggy on the bottom. But apparently, if I'd whacked up the temperature a bit more...
Yeah.
Oh, because you were worried because you said you didn't measure the cheese as well.
Oh, I didn't measure the cheese,
You just took a few fistfuls of cheese and shoved it in there.
I didn't actually measure anything. I just put a load of mustard on. It's fine though, whatever.
They're still really tasty.
They're absolutely delicious.
A bit longer in the oven, jobs good. And next batch will be perfect.
And for you, Jane, would you say like patisserie is accessible then?
100%. Like, I think that was always my aim with any recipe I've ever produced is whether you are a Michelin star chef and you just want something fun or you've never baked anything in your life, that you're still going to have the same result. And that's why I test everything multiple times, go through different ideas.
Oh, really?
And then make it accessible with like whatever you need to be able to make it, what ingredients you need to be able to buy.
Oh,
I want everyone to be able to do it.
Yeah, because it's all very well going, oh, you need to have blah, blah chocolate or you need to have such and such a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Well, most people don't have that.
Yeah, really. Exactly. And especially over like the summer holidays and your kids are at home, you want to be able to make something really easy to entertain them.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if everyone gets a little bit messy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You don't want to be there trying to be escoffier in the corner. I mean, as a child, I would have been. But yeah, absolutely. What a great approach to it. And it's clearly paying off. I mean, your first book, it was the biggest selling cookbook of all time.
Yeah, it was the fastest selling baking book ever. I'm still not quite over, if I'm honest.
Number one Sunday Times bestseller.
Yep.
Sold more than 44,000 copies in the first 3 days after publication.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yeah, the statistics on that, I'm still going, how, me? No, surely not.
Oh, no, but it's true, Jane. Well, that's what makes people want to follow you. It's because you're so humble with it, which you don't need to be. Somebody's messaged to say, I'm very excited to hear Jane Dunn on the show. I bake loads from her book, especially her NYC cookies, in 4 batches at a time for my work colleagues.
Yep.
I'm making her lemon cheesecake recipe this morning. I can't wait to try the recipes in her new book. Enjoy your treats. Martha from Wiltshire. Classic rock and roll fan there. Jane, I have to say, thank you so much for coming in. It's such literally a treat in every way to see you here. And I'll tell you, Jane's Patisserie Celebrate, that's the name of the book, is out now. Find her at janespatisserie.com.
Yep.
Or on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and Twitter with the handle at Jane's Patisserie.
Yes.
Jane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the beautiful book.
Thank you for having me.
Great to chat with you and thank you for the treats.
Yes, all the cake.
I'm going to eat the rest of it now during this song.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Jane.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
When it comes to politics, the only person who knows more than our next guest is Larry the Cat. Boris Johnson is now Boris Gonson. I didn't actually write this introduction. So. And it's actually written by Felix, I just found out.
Felix,
great wordplay. There are only two people left in the running to replace Boris, and this man is chatting to one of them on Times Radio this morning. He's more dishy than Rishi and more of a political whiz than Liz. It's Matt Chorley.
Good morning.
Good morning, dear Matt.
That's a much nicer introduction than I get when I come up to see Chris. Well, you can stay.
Oh, thank you very much. Don't say that. Don't say that. Chris will be very cross with me. I'm so delighted you've come up to talk to us, though, Matt, because, well, it's a busy time in politics, isn't it?
It's always a busy time in politics. The last 6 years, I'd say. Maybe eight. Mm. Scottish referendum, I'd say, was probably the last time I had a good sleep.
Oh, right, just before that.
Yeah, just before that, and it's been mad ever since.
It's been a very intense time. I think we forget that sometimes, don't we? Sinead, you don't forget it because you have to deal with it every day.
on a much lighter basis, though. I just dip my toe in every half hour.
But I suppose that's what a lot of people do, isn't it? That's more than what a lot of people do. Matt, you've got this interview with Rishi Sunak today. Rishi?
Yes.
As he was once referred to during the pandemic.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for an interview like that?
Well, you know what? It's really difficult because sometimes... I'll be honest. This interview's been in the pipeline for either sort of 2 months or 2 years, depending on when I first started lobbying him to come on Times Radio.
Oh.
And if I'd done it when he was Chancellor, there'd have been quite a lot that we could have gone at, because when he was Chancellor, he didn't do many interviews. Today I've got the opposite problem. There's almost nothing he hasn't already expressed a view about.
Yes.
At one of these hustings, one of the interviews, yes, or the TV debates, or whatever it might be.
These videos that keep getting leaked of him talking.
Exactly.
Various things.
Doesn't have any working class friends and all that.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find a thing that he's, you know, that trying to maybe get him to say something new.
Oh.
While also trying to keep happy the people. So why have you not shouted at him about energy prices, the hot weather, Brexit, the NHS, you know, and we've only got 20 minutes.
Your job is a lot more stressful than ours.
Stick a record on.
We had Jane Dunn come in the other day and we just talked to her about cheese twists.
It sounds more fun, to be honest. Maybe I should do that with Rishi Sunak. Stand on cheese twists?
Maybe I should have been more like that with Jane. What are you going to do about these cheese twists? This cake is very nice. Why? People want to know why.
What would you, what would you ask Rishi Sunak?
Well, we were talking about this, weren't we, Sinead? I was thinking like something like, what's your favourite crisps?
But crisps is good, but I'd be interested to know if he gets into number 10, what's he going to do with the decor?
Oh, yes.
I know the answer to that. He's already said he would go back into his old flat. So it's weird. The Prime Minister...
Oh, he's above number 10.
It's number 11.
11.
The Chancellor above number 10. And he said he would move back into his old Chancellor's flat, basically because they've done it up. So it's all, you know...
Oh, he likes it then.
It's his decor. So he doesn't need to deal with the psychedelic nightmare that apparently is Boris Johnson's flat.
Apparently, that they went to town on.
Yeah.
And put in lots of interesting things. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Sort of Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen explosion.
Yes. Was that right?
I think
like changing rooms.
Yeah.
Maybe they could do a changing rooms. That would be a lighthearted
that
approach.
That would be good.
What is
it?
Essentially a very terrifying time in politics. doing a version of
the first thing that he does when he moves in is him as the Chancellor get Lawrence around to do changing rooms.
Wouldn't that be fun, though?
I think it'd be good.
I would think it was fun. I'd also think the outrage would be
decorating on a budget.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Decorating on it. We've got £3 billion to do up this flat. And
your first task is to find a Tory donor to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. Yeah. I'm sure there'd be some. I wonder as well what his position is on towels, actually, Sinead, as well.
Yeah, well...
towels?
Rishi Sunak has towels.
We were talking about the important... You think you're the one talking about the important issues. Yeah. We are actually the ones talking about that. We talked about how people wash their towels. Do you put conditioner in with your towels?
No, you don't do that, do you?
Well, exactly. What the people need to know, Matt. Do you put them... I feel like I should be more like a journalistic interview with you, Matt, now. What are you doing with your towels? Are you putting them on the line? Are you putting them in the tumble dryer? What do you do?
No conditioner, obviously.
Answer the question. How do you dry your towels?
We're on the line, because we don't have a tumble dryer.
Very environmentally conscious, that.
Exactly.
Very good. But don't you get crispy towels?
They're not that bad, I don't think.
No, not crispy?
Not that bad means that there's a bit of Christmas
No, I don't think so.
I cannot abide.
I only use them once and I just throw them away.
Of course.
They never get...
Of
course, so much more environmentally sound.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
I'm not using a tumble dryer, just using single-use bath towels.
Yeah, it's more for the bin. Put it in the landfill.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's an interesting approach.
No, I donate. I donate them to some those people who wash seagulls. You know,
there's
an oil spill.
Very political response.
Yes,
there. You can't get him on that, can you? You can't get him on that.
I now care about animals as well.
He cares about animals with his towels that he throws away and buys a new every day. Oh, it's a real conundrum, that one. Gosh.
So I'm asking Rishi Sunak, what's your favourite crisp and how do you wash your towels?
How do you wash your towels? Have you got any tips on dealing with aphids? I've got some on my runner beans. Soapy water has actually been working quite well.
Yes, on a squirty bottle.
Matt, does he do that already?
Does he prefer a diffuser or a scented candle?
What's his room scent?
Yeah. Do you mean smelly sticks?
They're not called smelly sticks, Matt. We're not in your direct Times Radio world. They're called reed diffusers, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I like them.
Yeah, you like them?
Yeah, much prefer that to a plug-in.
Oh, a plug-in.
Absolutely.
Matt.
Thank you.
That's the outrage we're generating on this show. Outrage.
Rishi Sunak, were they reed diffusers or scented candle?
Yeah. Reed diffusers or scented candles, which would you go for?
Great.
Is that the best? Do you think that's the most insightful question we can ask him?
I am going to ask because they've just said that Yorkshire Water are going to have a hose pipe ban. He's an MP in Yorkshire.
Oh, that's where his constituency
is. So I'm going to ask him is he worried about his mallows?
Are you worried about your vegetable patch?
I'd like to know, is his grass, has that all like burnt up and gone brown like everyone else's? Is his kept watered?
Has he kept it watered?
Does he water it?
There's your headline. I've been watering my garden for the past...
Oh, he's not going to want... He's not going to be drawn on something like that.
He's not going to say, it's really lush.
Yeah.
That's why the rest of Yorkshire's got a hosepipe band now. It's just...
just
we're absolutely fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Will he be drawn on that? I don't know. But still, good luck, Matt.
Thank you.
With the grilling. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Yeah. We are living in very, difficult times. And Genesis knew about that.
Very much.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast. Remember to subscribe so that you never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky. For now, toodaloo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.